Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when her daughter was just 2, she started telling her about a previous life and how she had been watching them and she chose them.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We like real ghost stories and we like paranormal stories and we like all the stories. So call them in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, you could become a premium subscriber. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today. How's it going, Kathy?
It's going really well. Well, other than the fact that, you know, we had 2 scratcher tickets and we didn't win $50,000.
I know, we were like...
I really thought we were going to win them this time.
We had plans.
Yeah.
We were like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to win $50,000 on one. Another one, we'll win 10. We just get a free ticket.
Or 10 bucks.
Yeah.
So we could tell everybody we won $50,000.
And $10. But shit.
We didn't win anything.
We didn't even get a free damn ticket.
No, nothing. Oh, darn.
See, that's how they pull you in. Yeah. Now we got to go get more.
That's right.
Because here's the thing. We want to be on my lottery dream home.
Yeah.
And with David. Because we would like to just hang out with David.
Bromstead.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way we're ever going to get to hang out with David is to win the lottery or come into... Because he even does it with inheritance money.
He's so fabulous.
But... we don't have anybody we're going to inherit anybody from. So we're no good there.
Yeah.
Really, our only source of instant wealth is the lottery.
And that qualifies you to be on that show.
Hence the name of it.
Yeah.
So.
There you have it. My luck, though, he'll show me a haunted lottery house. And
well, he has gone. There was an episode. I watch them all the time. Because on Fridays, it's like binge watch it. But, there was an episode where they were in some little town and he stayed at a haunted bed and breakfast.
Really?
Yeah. And he had some experiences and one of his coworkers, like his makeup girl or his day-to-day mm-hmm. person or whoever it was, had experiences in it.
Mm-hmm. He does strike me as somebody who would be super, you know, sensitive. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
I know. I just want to hang out with him.
No. And they eat a lot.
Every time they see a house, they go get a donut ice cream.
I know
or food
a great little place with good muffins down the street. Let's go, you know.
And then I'm always like, I wish I could go with David.
Yeah.
Get some ice cream in between showing houses.
He's so darling. I love him.
He really is. Well, this is an interesting story today. So this first story actually comes from a recent Grave Talks episode.
Okay.
So the episode is called The Historic Haunting of Greystone Manor, or something like that.
Okay.
It's Greystone Manor. It's G-R-A-E Stone Manor. So it's really interesting. It's a great episode. And there is a twist in there that I'm not giving away. You have to listen to it. A connection between the hauntings and her. But she is a psychic medium, Heather Reese Madison. She's a psychic medium. They weren't really necessarily looking for a haunted house. They just kind of came into this house. And the way they ended up with a house is really interesting. So listen to the whole story. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to me. And her connection with the house, you know, which is interesting when you think about it, because if you're a psychic medium and you're listening or you're living in the house, you're hearing all of these other things all the time, you know,
it's, right.
And seeing apparitions, and they're actually talking to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot
going on.
Because there's days I just want to watch my lottery dream home.
I just want quiet.
And I don't want to look up and see an apparition or something. And so we had a long conversation about what it's like just to be her.
Is there a way to turn it off? Yeah, turning it off if need be.
You know, have you had to research how to do that, or is it just kind of over the years? So we have this great conversation. She was a really interesting person. I really enjoyed talking to her. But this one part of the story I wanted to share, because this is another thing I find fascinating when you hear about little kids who had a previous life experience and they come to you and they tell you things. It's like, well, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. And that happened to her with her 2-year-old daughter.
Okay.
So this is her story. This is Heather's story and what happened with her 2-year-old daughter. Or this happened when her daughter was 2. Now, as her daughter got older, this kind of went away too. But this is the story.
So when my daughter was about 2, she started telling me stuff. She said, you know, I came to be with you guys. She said, I was watching you and I chose to be with you. She said, she told me all about how she died before. She died in a car accident. She told me her name. She told me all this information about her previous life. And she was only 2. She was telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, what the heck? And then I started sort of opening up again, because I was trying to get a handle on her. Like, what is going on? And it was just so creepy. Just the things she was telling me, which is one after another, you know, things she couldn't know. She had really weird habits, even though she was 2. She was asking for, like, she wanted vanilla ice cream with maple syrup on it, because that's how she used to eat it all the time back in the day. Odd
so
things.
So interesting. She gave her phone number.
She said her phone number was TR3405, which is, she didn't even know her new phone number. She didn't know her number now. She's only 2. So she was giving me phone numbers that were, like, back in the day, you know. So, she was definitely weird, and that's when I started really opening back up again, trying to get a handle on her. And then everyone would start asking her questions, because she'd talk about all these people in her past life, you know, or she would talk about them like they were current people, though. That's what was creepy. You know, she'd say, like, my name was Brina. My grandmother, I was baby Brina because my grandma Brina raised me and all this stuff. And it sounded like she was from the South. We were in Atlanta at the time. And we had just moved back up to Buffalo. So She'd ask for all the Southern stuff. It was super weird, but she wasn't exposed to anything Southern. When we lived down there, she was only 2. So it was very, very strange. And then it got weird when at one point, after about a year of this, her talking about all this past life stuff, I would give her a bath and I'd try and get information out of her because she'd be quiet, you know, because that way I was focusing it. It was the one time I could sort of talk to her and she'd focus. And I'd say, you know, hey, you know, and I'd try and ask her questions like, do you remember the city you lived in or what did it look like, Elvis? And then she said, I was told I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, they said I'm not supposed to be remembering this stuff and I'm not supposed to talk about it. And I said, they. I'm like, what do you mean? Who's they? You know, because I was sitting there trying to get her to describe who's talking to her. And she got really pissed and she said, I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore. And so it got really strange. I mean, I had seen her doing things that were so out of the norm. You know, I caught her pitching pennies with her brother, who was 2 years older than her. They're sitting in the kitchen one time. And again, she's 2 years old and they've got Monopoly money in their hands and they have pennies. And I walk in and they're throwing pennies against the wall. I'm like, what are you guys doing? She's like describing it. Plus she talked like a little gangster when she was little. She had this real rough voice. She's like, we're playing this game. She goes, you put the money down and then try and throw the pennies. Or she's literally telling me how to pitch pennies. I have no idea how to pitch pennies. So she's gambling. And she kept going, see how my teeth are all cracked over here? And they weren't. And I'm like, okay. She goes, yeah, I used to open bottles with my teeth all the time. And I ended up cracking these teeth up here. So she's telling me all this crazy stuff. I'm like, what in the world is going on with this kid? So anyway, she told me she wasn't allowed to talk about it anymore. And I'm like, okay. And then she wouldn't talk about anything anymore. That was it. Last time she talked about it. Until I was teaching her how to drive when she was 16. I had taught her brother how to drive. Got his license. No problem. Go to the parking lot. We'd go to the church because it's an open parking lot. And like, we're going to practice here. And then we're going to go drive around a little bit. We're going to go to the cemetery, you know, like you usually do when you start to learn how to drive. She goes, and all this time, I never brought any of this up with her. She's now 16. So I never talked about it with her because I didn't want to make her feel weird or like a freak or anything weird, you know? Because I had written down notes, though, the stuff she had said. Anyway, starting to learn how to drive. I'm telling her, you know, just so you get a feel for the car. I want you to drive around the parking lot. She goes, I feel like I know how to drive. And she had told me she died in a car wreck. She crashed her car into a tree. That's how she died. She had tried to fix it. There were tools on the counter. And she was telling me all about how she tried to fix it. She thought she fixed it, but apparently she didn't because she lost control and smashed into a tree. That's how she died. So I knew she knew how to drive. And she's telling me now, I know how to drive. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm remembering. I'm like, no. I go, no, you have to practice. She's like, how weird. She's like, I don't know why I feel like I can just drive. She pulls out the parking lot, just starts driving around the neighborhood like she's driven her whole life. And she's like, she goes, this is so weird. She's like, I feel like really comfortable. Like I absolutely know how to drive. She's like, why would I know how to drive already? And I'm like, well.
About thinking, that.
I'm like, well, she's 16. So I'm thinking, well, maybe she can handle it, right? You know. And I said, well, you know, you did this weird thing when you were little. And I told her, you know, everything. And she's like, what the hell? She's like, that's the coolest thing ever. So I'm like, okay. And she goes, go show me your notes. So I show her all the notes. And she's sort of, you know, again, been a long time. So she wasn't really remembering. But she's like, this does sound familiar. She goes, started Googling like the names. She's Googling the phone numbers that she had given me when she was 2. And sure enough, the only places that had that phone number were Atlanta or Denver. That was it. They had the TR-3405, like the exchange. And a bunch of the other information, she was linking it to this, to Atlanta. Because she was telling me that's where she died. And that's where she was born this lifetime. So super weird, honestly. And that's when I started really opening up and being like, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah.
Like there is something is happening. Like you don't just die. Something, obviously this kid is literally sitting here telling me, oh yeah, no, that's what happens. I'm watching you. Here I am coming back. So it was an absolute trip.
Yeah. And from a 2-year-old, none of this stuff. You shouldn't even know how a phone works at 2. You know, they punch buttons, but what do they punch? I don't know.
She's telling me how to gamble.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Now, does she have abilities now like you do?
I mean, it runs in the family. She's real weird about it. She really isn't into this stuff at all. She's sort of funny about it, but she does. I mean, you know, I think she inherited some of it, but she's not going down that path at all. Like she's not, you know, no, I think it spooked her in a weird way.
Yeah.
She also thinks it's really cool, but I think it did freak her out.
Isn't that crazy? Like, and I've heard those stories before of kids that seem to know things or they'll, there was a whole series on TV for a while of kids. You know, like I was a fighter pilot and I got shot down and here's what the plane looked like that shot me down. And then it looks like this Japanese plane.
Well, my daughter, Kate, I wouldn't say that she gave me specific information like that, but she's one of those people. And I think we all know people like this, that you say they're an old soul. Mm-hmm. As a child, it would be like she would already know the appropriate way to act in certain situations or what to say or... You know, she just was sensitive to things in a way that you'd go, this child has lived before.
And how would you deal with a child telling you, like, this is how I died. This is what my name was. My grandma raised me and I was baby Bria or whatever it was. Right. And named after a grandma. And then, like, here's how I used to open up beer bottles. And here's, we're going to pitch pennies and gamble with Monopoly money.
I do have to say that my daughter, Kate, one time, she used to like to get up and take the phone, you know, wall-mounted phone back in the olden days, and take and dial a number, right? And I would always catch her and hang the phone up and make sure she wasn't doing it. Well, one day there was a knock on the door and it was the police. Apparently, Caitlin had dialed 911. And the police showed up, and because I'd caught her and I'd hung it up, so I knew she'd done it, right? And so I had her on my hip. She was small enough. She was on my hip. And I answered the door. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It was my daughter, Caitlin. You know, she did this." And the police go, "Oh, no, we got to search your house. Like, when we get a child, call 911. We have to go in."
Yeah.
And they did. They searched all over the house and they go, "We totally believe you, but we're coming in." And it's like, fine, you know, and they went all over the house and made sure everything, talked to each of the kids and make sure everybody's okay.
Well, and so that like just makes you think that, you know, there was someone who passed away and mm-hmm. somehow that spirit, that energy, that soul is her for a new life.
Or is it just there? Like she taps to it. It's not really her.
Yeah.
She can just, she's just sensitive to souls that have lived before. Because she seems to have a separate personality. I mean, it doesn't seem to have consumed her that she has become this penny pitching person in the 1800s, you know, or whatever. She,
hey, Commas. Yeah.
If she was 16 and talking, like, yeah, come over there. You know?
Come on.
Then, you know, you'd have a problem.
But I just think it's such an interesting thing. But those stories are fascinating to me.
Did she live before, or does she have a connection to people who have lived before and can sense
the
them
way
and what
this
happened?
Felt to me like it's a one person that she's connecting with.
Mm-hmm.
So either she could have been that person in a previous life, or she somehow is tapping into this
there's some connection
energy
there.
Or something.
But I don't think it's her because she's still very uniquely her. When she talks, when her mom talks about her, she doesn't talk about her that she feels like this thing has taken over her. It seems like it's a separate thing she talks about. I don't know. What do you think?
I kind of think it's a reincarnation thing. That's what they always feel like to me.
Okay.
That there was a previous life and that kind of is supposed to be erased when you're born. And then you hear these stories about these kids who are, you know, a fighter pilot or whatever their story was. You know, they're very specific. And some of these kids, like they'll tell you the name. Mm-hmm. Here's where I died. Here's what year I died. Like they have all this really specific information. And I think that slate's supposed to be wiped clean. And so then these, whatever it is, spirits or something, are like, you're not supposed to be talking about this.
Well, and, you know, the spirit itself being nurtured and raised in a different environment would grow up differently. Mm-hmm. Like you would be different. You would have just known you'd lived before. Like, how do you fall in that? Like, do you think you have had previous lives?
I do.
Like, is there a time period? Is there a time period that you like gravitate so much to? Like you just feel like you have a strong, not just connection, but like a handle on what that was like to live there.
British history.
British history. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, mine's Civil War.
I'm fascinated by that as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, you know, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, then you would be reincarnated several times, you know?
See, I am that way with the Civil War, and I feel very strongly like a Civil War male, not female. Like, I feel very strongly that way. Yeah, it's a male energy.
I don't know. It's a fascinating conversation, and I had never talked to anyone who experienced it firsthand with her own child.
If energy cannot be destroyed, correct?
True.
Where does it go?
Exactly.
It has to manifest itself somewhere.
I remember having this conversation with our dad. Mm-hmm. Like, where does it go?
Yeah.
You can't kill energy.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting. But the whole episode was really good. And there's a little plot twist in there. She buys this house, and then there's a backstory to her buying the house that I did not see the plot twist coming, and I'm not giving it away.
Yeah.
So
you've got to listen.
You got to listen to the episode. And it's Greystone Manor, the historic hauntings of Greystone Manor, I think is what the name of it is. Mm-hmm. Her name is Heather Reese Madison, psychic medium. And at greystonemanor.com, you can get information about the, because it's a bed and breakfast now, you can get information about it and about her.
Yeah.
Because she does psychic readings. Mm-hmm. And she was so awesome.
Oh, she's so well-spoken. And I would love to hear if anybody out there, this is just kind of a little bit of a different topic for us, but if we have people out there that have stories about reincarnation,
I would love to hear more, or if
you really have a strong sense that this possible era or something, you know, like if you got a story about it, I'd love to hear
it. I would love to hear it. Mm. I love those kind of things. I just think they're fascinating. So here is our next story. It says, "Hi, my name's Kylie. I live in San Diego. I have found a gold mine listening to your podcast. This is my paranormal outlet. So listening to your podcast is a real treat for me." That's really sweet.
It is.
"Tombstone is one of my favorite movies. The story of Wyatt Earp and his boys has always intrigued me." Mm-hmm. See, why does it. That intrigue you?
Yeah, and why are you drawn connection? To that?
Yeah. "So a few years ago, my husband and I decided to take a road trip / vacation to Tombstone, Arizona to see this historical town for ourselves. We stayed at a very modest motel off of the main street, nothing fancy, and we quickly fell in love with the town and later with our motel." I like the way this is written. "A few quick notes that pertain to this story. Number one," they're numbered.
Well, we need it.
"When my husband and I stay in hotels, we always put the do not disturb sign on the doorknob for the entire time we occupy the room. Not that I have anything against hotel staff touching our stuff. I just have never liked the idea of someone else picking up after me."
I get it both ways. I understand even sometimes you just don't want people in your room, you know, for whatever reason.
"Number two," and then in parentheses, "sorry to my husband. Because my husband grew up with sisters and constantly got yelled at for leaving the toilet seat up, he eventually gave into that war and has peed sitting down since he was about 12 years old." Actually, that's a good brother because
so sweet.
Our poor brother, same thing. Mm-hmm. Four girls and a mom and him. And it was like, "Gary, you left the toilet seat up."
Yeah, but I hate falling in the toilet in the middle of the night.
There's nothing worse.
And splashing my butt.
And that happens in this story.
I hate it so bad.
"So my husband is..." Oh, number three. "My husband is a terrible liar. He looks away and his lips curl up, hiding a smile when he's lying." So there's the three notes.
Okay.
"After a great first day of wandering around Tombstone that ended in a ghost hunt tour of the Birdcage Theater..."
Fun.
Mm-hmm. "We decided to call it a night. And the Birdcage Theater is super haunted."
Oh, we should go.
Okay. "When we got back to the hotel, we did our nightly ritual, brushing our teeth, washing our face, etc. We snuggled in, turned on the TV, and eventually drifted off. About 3 a.m., in a sleepy stupor, I made my way to the bathroom, only to have my ass meet water.
No.
The toilet seat was up. I screamed at the sudden fall into the toilet." See, that's what happens to us women. I'm like, and couldn't you just aim better? There's still a good size opening there. Anyways, that's another podcast. "My husband woke up to that. 'What happened?' he asked. 'You left the toilet seat up,' I responded frustratingly, to which he responded, 'Left the toilet seat up? Since when have I ever done that?' The realization set in, and he did, in fact, have a great point. We've been married 4 years at the time, and he had never done that. I quickly put two and two together and realized that the toilet seat was down before we went to bed. A chill came over me. No, not because of the cold water."
That too.
"And the hairs on my arm stood up, and my mind directly went to the paranormal. The next day, I asked my husband throughout the day, 'Are you sure you didn't do it? What if you didn't remember? If you're playing a joke on me, just tell me. You got the reaction you wanted. You got the reaction. What more do you want?' Each of his responses were quite serious. Eye contact and no smiles. He was very adamant. It was not him. We stayed there 3 nights total, and the seat was up in the middle of the night every night after that. I checked it before each time so I wouldn't repeat the first night, And each time I muttered some comment like, nice try, or getting old now, think of something better.
I agree. Like, I've had that feeling too lately. Like, funny. That's super funny, everybody.
Was she just taunting it?
Yeah.
Think of something better.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nothing else substantial happened in that room other than a few noises and things fell off the counter in the bathroom, but those could be easily written off. But I do know, whoever that spirit was had a good laugh that night. When we checked out, I mentioned to the nice lady at the front desk, and she smiled and shook her head, and she said that the ghosts that reside in this little motel have a knack for playing tricks on the guests. Next time we go, I will be staying at that motel again. Not sure if this will make your show, but thank you very much for taking your time to read this. I do have another longer story about our experience at the Birdcage Theater,
which definitely
I can share if you'd like. I'd love to hear that. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for all you do, Kylie. That's so interesting because it almost is like what the
practical ghoster
clerk said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, practical ghoster.
That's right.
That is exactly what that is.
And, you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, me getting locked out of the house and knowing that the door wasn't locked when I went out, that I had double checked it to make sure it wasn't locked before I pulled it because I didn't have my keys. I knew I didn't. I was just going to the mailbox. Then it's locked, right? I felt the same way.
And I could see, like, of course, she would think it was her husband.
Well,
but then even he's like, when have I ever done that?
Yeah, and why? Right?
Like, and then the fact that it happened every night after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
But I love her. I love her going, oh, yeah. Like, that's funny. Like, that's new.
But what I really love is they will stay at that same place again.
Uh-huh. Oh, I hope she writes back with the
I would love to hear the Birdcage stories.
Me too.
So here's one more story, and it says, I worked as a psychiatric technician at our local hospital in central Missouri. Since starting my job there, I was told by many healthcare professionals, these were physicians, nurses, etc., that the unit, along with the entire hospital, was haunted. Apparently, what was now the locked down psychiatric ward was once the surgical and intensive care unit in the 60s and 70s, where many people had died over the years. As a psych tech, one of my graveyard shift duties was to make frequent rounds to check on the mostly sleeping psychiatric patients and ensure they were accounted for and safe. When not physically seeing them in person, many of the rooms were monitored on CCTV camera, which could not be recorded, but were merely live streamed. The cameras were wired directly to the TVs with no recording device whatsoever. During my rounds on one of these nights, I realized one hall was vacant. There were no patients in these rooms at the time, so they were unoccupied, darkened, with the door shut and locked. I came back to the nurse's station desk, and a nurse asked me why a patient was awake brushing her hair in the middle of the night. I replied to the nurse, I just checked all of the rooms. There was no one awake. The nurse pointed to the TV behind the desk, and I could barely believe my eyes. In one of the darkened rooms, illuminated by only a parking lot light, sat a thin, elderly woman on the edge of the bed, slowly combing out her long, light-colored hair. Knowing this room was to be unoccupied and that psych patients sometimes wandered to places they're not supposed to be, the nurse and I rushed to the room, whose only door was visible from the desk, and unlocked it. The room was empty. The light remained off, and the bed was made, and there was no woman. Shocked and confused, we exited and locked the room back up and went back behind the desk. The TV monitor showed the room was empty, just as we had found it. We called security, who checked the entire unit. No such woman did exist as a patient and was not located on the lockdown unit. I still work at the hospital. I'm told that security office has a collection of several tapes from the recorded units, which display countless unexplained phenomena and apparitions throughout this hospital. I've been a lifelong skeptic, but events such as the one I personally encountered on this unit, I cannot to this day explain. And I'm not sure who wrote that in, but thank you very much for that story.
Gosh,
that is so creepy.
I would love to know if any of the other recordings had the woman.
Mm.
Like if she's a, you know, shows up again and again.
They need to put that, edit all that tape together and put it in a film and Yeah. You could make some money off that.
You know how creepy that would
be? Oh, my God, yes.
Old woman with white hair brushing her hair in the middle of the night and with one just lady, the parking lot light.
Yeah, and the one person at the desk is like, that's a scary didn't you just story. Check all these? And he's like, yeah, everybody's, or she, whoever it is that wrote it. Yeah, everybody's asleep.
That's a scary story.
And then to be watching her. And they're both seeing it at the same time. Yeah. It's like, well, that makes sense. Somebody got out of another room and went into that room.
And they said, though, they unlocked the door to get in. So somebody would have had to have a key to unlock the door and get in to be sitting on the bed and brushing their hair.
Yeah, and that person knew that whole hallway was vacant. Nobody was in it. Oh, so creepy. And if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. You can call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, you get the advance episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.